We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Greg Stone continues his series on a man's legacy as a husband, a father, and in the kingdom. Greg Stone is a pastor of Jewish ministries at Gateway Church and is a husband and father. Let's listen in.
Hey, friend. My name is Greg Stone, and I introduced myself last week when we did this blog, but maybe you're just joining us today, and maybe you don't know me, so by way of introduction, I get to serve as the Jewish pastor at Gateway Church, and so I am Jewish, and I came to faith in Jesus and Yeshua in 1982, and I've been walking with the Lord now for 38 years. I grew up in the heart of American Judaism in the suburbs of New York City. I was bar mitzvahed just before I turned 13. As I mentioned last time, the word bar mitzvah actually means to be declared a son of the commandment. So the bar mitzvah is a Jewish way of declaring our sons to be men, to be a mensch. The rabbi who bar mitzvahed me was the vice president of the World Jewish Council. I did graduate from Hebrew High School. I've been married for 38 years, and I am the father of five and the grandfather of 12. Last time we started to talk about legacy, about the things that we are leaving behind, and we talked about the legacy of our marriage. And the next time we talk, we'll talk about the legacy that we'll leave in the kingdom. But today I want to talk with you about your legacy as a father. And there are four principles of fatherhood that I want to share with you today. The first one is that fatherhood matters greatly. The second is that fatherhood requires that we grow up. The third is that fatherhood requires that we be responsible. And the fourth is that fatherhood requires that we be godly. So first of all, then, fatherhood matters greatly. And the second of the Ten Commandments really emphasizes this. In Exodus chapter 20, Moses wrote, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them to serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers." In other words, visiting the sins of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, and showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, the Bible does say, or does not say, that God visits the sin of the mothers on the children. It says that he visits the sins of the fathers. That does not mean that men are greater sinners than women. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. Adam and Eve were created without sin, and then they both sinned. And their children inherited what we call the sin nature. Their children were sinners because they sinned, but also because they had a predisposition to sin. They were born broken, if you will. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, Paul said to throw off the old sin nature and put on the new man. So I've got to deal with both natures. Think about it like this. There are certain genetic traits that we inherit from our mothers, and there are other genetic traits that we inherit from our fathers. It's just genetics. Well, we're all part of the human race. And as humans, the second commandment says that we inherit the sin nature from our fathers. That does not mean that men are greater sinners than women. That does not mean that fathers are greater sinners than mothers. Not at all. But it does mean that the role of the father is actually quite significant. In other words, you are really important. We live in a culture that has largely downplayed the significance of fatherhood because we've tried to honor women and motherhood, and we should honor women and motherhood. But sometimes when we do that, we fail to recognize that fatherhood is extremely significant. So as a father, your legacy is very important. Fatherhood matters greatly. Second, fatherhood requires that we grow up. Again, we can see this in the way the Bible uses the Ten Commandments. In Ezekiel chapter 18, the prophet is actually referring to the commandments. He says this in Ezekiel 18, verses 21 through 23. He says, "If a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? In other words, he broke the commandments, and now he's doing right. And God says, hey, he grew. He says, this is good. So fatherhood requires that we grow a little bit later in Ezekiel 18, verses 30-32. Remember and turn from your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. So we can turn from our past. We can become something better. And our Heavenly Father is rooting on us to do just that. Men, God expects us to grow as fathers. As believers, we are constantly turning towards God. The Bible calls that repentance. It is turning toward God. If we can turn toward God with the way we handle our money, if we can turn toward God by turning away from drugs or alcohol or promiscuity, we can certainly turn toward God when it comes to becoming a better father. I remember when our firstborn child was born. I have 4 sons and a daughter, Laura. Laura is my firstborn. And I remember looking at my wife. This is like the day after Laura was born. And Donna was nursing Laura. And I remember thinking, wow, Donna really loves that baby. Wow. Well, I love that baby too. But I don't think I feel the same thing emotionally that she does. I don't think I necessarily love the baby as much as my wife does. Am I an okay father? And I have all these questions running through my head. Well, fast forward 22 years. Our daughter, Laura, has now gotten married. And she is in the hospital, and she's giving birth to her firstborn, a son. And Daniel will be my first grandchild. For some reason, my daughter wanted me in the birthing room with her when Daniel was born. Possibly because, frankly, her husband was just too timid to be in there during the event. But I was in there, as was my wife, Laura's mother. We were both in there. And when Daniel was born, the nurses cleaned him off and then handed the baby to me. And as I sat there holding Daniel, I felt legacy for the first time in my life. I actually put the word on it. Before that day, I could have told you what the definition of the word legacy was. But that day, I experienced legacy for the first time in my life. Let's be honest, men. Men are a little slower to grow up than women tend to be. When a woman has a baby, it's often a much quicker transition. But a young father is often at the place where he's asking questions like, will I be able to provide for this baby? Am I going to be an okay father? Hey, what about my professional development? What about my job? How do I balance all of this with my family? But by the time you become a grandfather, 20, 25, perhaps 30 years have gone by. You now just have different values in life. You have different questions. You see, fatherhood grows us up eventually, and fatherhood requires that we grow up. So are you growing as a father? Fatherhood's really important, and fatherhood requires that we grow up. But the third point I want to make here today is that fatherhood requires that we be responsible. Yesterday, I told you about a very old Jewish tradition to write ethical wills. These are wills that are not about passing on material valuables, but these are wills that pass ethical values from one generation to the next. I read one Hebrew ethical will where a father writes this: be devoted to your children as I was to you. Be tender to them as I was tender to you. Instruct your children as I instructed you. Keep your children as I kept you. Try to teach your children the Torah, the Bible, as I have taught you. And do not be indifferent to any little ailment in them or in yourself. Now, the father who wrote those words did not say, "Son, I want you to grow as I grew as a father." But he did, he could have. And if I were to write an ethical will in similar form, I would say that. I would say, continue to grow your whole life as I have endeavored to grow my whole life. That father who wrote that ethical will went on to say, if you notice any sickness in your children or in you, do what is necessary. He said, time is short. Experiment is dangerous. Therefore, be prompt and apply sure remedies. Now, I love the way that that father was able to essentially say, look at the example that I set for you. Look at the legacy that I left you. And I love the way that father encouraged his son to care for the health of his children. But I also love the way that that father told his son to continue to care for his own health. It reminds me of a story that I watched unfold 30 years ago. There was a couple in a previous church that I had attended. Their name was Pat and Kay. Pat and Kay had a 2-year-old daughter, and Pat and Kay and I had a mutual friend who was a nurse, and Kay came down with breast cancer. It was caught very early. So our mutual friend, the nurse, told me, she was insistent, that this was very treatable because it was caught so early. But Kay thought, no, I'm not going to do the medical thing. I believe I can do this with the fight of faith. As it turned out, that cancer grew. And eventually Kay thought, I better go to the doctor. But by then it was too late. It was no longer treatable. You see, she had not been prompt. She did not realize that time was short. And sadly, Kay died. Now, I'm convinced that if it were not Kay who had contracted the cancer, if instead it were their daughter, Kay would have insisted that their 2-year-old daughter receive all the available treatment right away. But the sickness was not on the 2-year-old. The sickness was on the mother. What Kay had not considered was that she was putting the little girl's mother at risk. And as a result, that little girl has grown up without ever knowing her mother. Now that is a sad story, a powerful story. You see, it reminds us all that we all have a legacy with our children, even if we don't see it. My parents divorced when I was 5 years old. That was 57 years ago. To this day, I have never met a single person on my father's side of the family. My father failed to consider his legacy. As fathers, we need to do whatever we can to ensure that our wives do not have to raise our kids without their help. That's why you need to take care of your health physically and spiritually. When you take care of your health, you're taking care of the health of your wife's husband. You're reducing the risk that your wife will ever have to raise those children without your help. You're taking care of the health of your children's father. You need to do the right thing. Now, this principle is not just about physical health. It is about spiritual health, too. Fourth point, fatherhood requires that we be godly. Now, a few years ago, I was pastoring a church in Minnesota, and one of my sons was serving as our children's pastor. I dreamed, and just a night dream, that my son was watching me. I dreamed that he was waiting for me to step up as an example that he could follow. You see, we are creating the legacy that we leave our children. So are you creating a godly legacy? In another one of those ethical wills that I referred to, a father told his son to keep his bookcases covered with a rug so as to protect his books. And then he also told his son, every Passover and every Feast of Tabernacles, call in all the books that are out on loan. What is that father really doing for his children? He's creating a legacy that values education. He's creating a legacy that values growth. He's creating a legacy that values stewardship. About 30 years ago, I saw a video of Dr. James Dobson. Now, Dr. Dobson is known as the founder of Focus on the Family, one of the most significant evangelical Christians of the past 50 years. In fact, in the 1980s, he was ranked as one of the most influential spokesmen for conservative social positions in American public life. He wrote 26 books. He's co-authored many other books. And Dobson has, as you can imagine, strong opinions on sexual purity, which is why I was surprised to see a video of him talking about the difficult topic of masturbation. You can find what he says about it online. But in the video that I saw, he said one thing that I thought was really important. He asked the question, "How big of a challenge will this be for your son?" And his answer went like this. "Your son has the same genetics as his father, which means he will have the same kinds of hormonal drive. No one is more equipped to understand the challenge that this will be to your son than you are." And with that, he went on to encourage fathers to talk to their sons, mothers to talk to their daughters. I don't think I heard him say anything about mothers talking to sons or fathers talking to daughters. Here's the principle, men. You are the most well-equipped person in all of humanity to talk to your sons. You have the same genes. You have the same kinds of hormones. You have the same social world. And when I heard Dr. Dobson say that, I gained a much larger principle than that. And here it is. Parents, God chose you to raise those children for Him. No one is more equipped than you. Other people will give you advice in every kind of area of life. But there is a unique, God-given grace on you to raise your children. And it's about more than sexuality. It is about everything. Listen to other people's advice. Weigh it out. But in the end, they will not have the God-given grace that God will give you to raise those children. God has called, God has equipped you to lead your children for Him. He wants you to be a godly example to them. You will have a legacy with your children. You can't run from it. I'll read you what Dobson actually said, because I can imagine some of you are actually wondering. This is part of what he said. He said, "So what should parents say to their kids about this subject?" He's talking about, again, about masturbation. He says, "My advice is to say nothing after puberty has occurred. You'll only cause embarrassment and discomfort. For those who are younger, it would be wise to include the subject of masturbation in the preparing for adolescence conversation that I have recommended on other occasions." In other words, basically what Dobson is saying here is he's encouraging fathers, don't procrastinate this talk. Guys, if you need to get to it, because he says once they've hit puberty, it's too late. He goes on to say, "I would suggest that parents talk to their 12 or 13-year-old boys, especially in the same general way my parents discussed this subject with me. We were riding in the car, and my dad said, 'Jim, when I was a boy, I worried so much about masturbation. It really became a scary thing for me because I thought God was condemning me for what I couldn't help. So I'm telling you now that I hope you don't feel the need to engage in this act when you reach the teen years. But if you do, you shouldn't be too concerned about it. I don't believe it has much to do with your relationship with God.'" And Dobson went on to say, and I think this is powerful, "What a kind thing my father did for me that night in the car. He was a very conservative minister who never compromised his standards of morality to the day of his death. He stood like a rock for biblical principles and commandments, yet he cared enough about me to lift from my shoulders the burden of guilt that nearly destroyed some of my friends in the church. This kind of reasonable faith taught to me by my parents is one of the primary reasons I never felt it necessary to rebel against parental authority or to defy God. As fathers, you have a legacy. I encourage you to steward that legacy. Remember, fatherhood is important. Build a godly legacy. Be responsible in building that legacy, and always strive to grow in the quality of that legacy." Let me pray with you. Lord, some of the men that are listening have really done a great job in building their legacy. But for some, their children have not yet recognized it. I pray that their children wake up to the blessing that they have. But some of the men listening, Lord, have not done as well. And you are a God of great grace. You're a God that can help us grow. You're a God of great wisdom. And so I pray, God, that you will make every father, son, and every father-daughter relationship better than it already is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.